I wonder, beloved friends, if you tend to get downhearted at times. Things seem to be getting worse in this world, don't they? Month by month and year by year. And as you open your morning paper, there's nothing very pleasant to read in it. It's a long list of terrible happenings. And it seems as though everything's going worse and there doesn't seem to be any answer to it. And then sometimes your mind gets transferred and you say, oh, well, thank God, well, we have wonderful things in the Church of God, and that's something to thrill our hearts with. Yes, indeed it is. And then the devil seems to come and suggest to you that even that's gone wrong. That really the church has been brought into ribbons, cut into ribbons, that the most dreadful things, and indeed it is perfectly true that the most dreadful things have happened under the guise of the Church of God. Unspeakable blasphemies have been committed. Beloved brethren, even amongst those sometimes, alas, one has to bow one's head and say, yes, it's true, even amongst those called brethren. Is it possible that things have gone wrong after all? No, it isn't. Thank God, he isn't dependent upon us. He's got a glorious man in whom nothing has gone wrong. In whom all is absolutely sure and certain, both with regard to this world and the universe in which we live, and with regard to the very church of which we are speaking. How wonderful it is to be able to see that the purposes of God have never been frustrated. Indeed, if we were to be able to look into heaven, there's never been a ripple in the surface in heaven that anything should have happened which was contrary to what God had in mind, because he's going to overcome it all the wickedness of men, all the poverty of man's responsibility in Christianity. He's going to overcome it all in that wonderful person whom he has at his right hand. Beloved, if this is true, how right it is that we should turn our thoughts for a little while, isn't it? From men, even at their best, because we're all failures, aren't we? From men, to see what God is doing. From the intentions of men, good as they might at times be, to the purpose of God which can never fail. Never fail. And beloved, I want us just to do that for a few minutes tonight, that our hearts might be taken up with the glory of that blessed man who fills the thoughts of God and in whom he is going to gather in one all things, both in heaven and earth. Is it possible that there is such a man? Yes, our hearts say. Gladly do we say, yes, indeed, it's not only possible, it's a fact. One who alone is worthy. Worthy, O Son of Man, art thou of every crown that decks thy brow. Worthy alone to be adored and owned as universal Lord. It's a fact, and it's very, very soon going to come about. All the terrible warrings of men, the injustices and the unrighteousnesses and the bombs and everything else, he's going to bring it all to an end. Very soon he's coming out of heaven. And all God's will is going to be. He's going to cover the scene with glory, God's glory. Does it thrill our hearts as it ought to do tonight, beloved friends? That our hearts might be lifted up to think of Him, the unsearchable riches of the Christ we read of. And this, if we thought of the world and its terrible situation, if we thought of the church and all the dishonor brought to the Lord's name in it, let us think of the unsearchable riches of the Christ, the riches of His grace, the riches of His glory, the riches of His greatness, the riches of His meekness, the riches of His dominion, His power, the riches of His obedience. Oh, who can tell what it meant? He was obedient unto death, beloved. Who shall tell how great He is? The riches of His love, the riches of His tenderness, the riches of His compassion. Have you ever thought that the one who is going to fill God's universe in a day to come is the one who stopped that funeral procession outside Nain and gave a son back to his mother? Isn't he a wonderful person? Do you know, everything is waiting for it. God is waiting for it. The Father is waiting for it. Do you know what He said? Ask of Me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. The Son is waiting for it. What did the Father say to Him? Sit at My right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. God waiting for that moment. Isn't that a wonderful thing, isn't it? Wicked men, even if they only knew it. The whole creation, the earnest expectation of the creature, waiteth. At this moment waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And beloved, we are waiting too. Our place will be with Him. Blessed be God forever and ever. Wonder and wonder that it could be so. But we're waiting for that blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of the great, of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful, blessed waiting? It's just about to happen, beloved. Oh, that our hearts might be lifted up in the anticipation of this glorious moment which is just about to happen. Who is this person? Who is the person who fills the thoughts of God? He's the Word. The eternal Word. The eternal expression of all that God is in Himself. The Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The full, entire, eternal expression of all that God is. The effulgence of His glory. The express image of His person. He was the one by whom the universe was created. He spoke. And it came into existence. How great the power of His Word. The Word of God. Not only with His lips, if one might say it, but all that He is in His own wonderful person. We had referred to this afternoon that marvelous verse when the Lord could say, He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father. The expression of all that God is. But that Word was made. No, no, I must go back to Mr. Darby's translation of this. Became flesh and dwelt among us. And here in this world, the full display of God has been made, hasn't it? The display of all that God is in his love. Found amongst men. Found amongst his creature. That he went round displaying to one and another in all their deep, deep need, the answer to those needs, come from the heart of God. And beloved, if he did it when he was here, he's been doing it ever since. Every one of us, thank God, who knows the blessedness of belonging to heaven, we've had our needs met in the same wonderful way. Grace alone. Love beyond compare. Love that no one can ever understand because it comes from the expression of what God is. God is love. It isn't you or I who've called forth that love, as we so well know. All we were capable of calling for was judgment. But God is love, and because God is love, he loved us. And because God is love, he made that love known to us in the person of his own blessed Son. Dear friend, this is the one who became flesh and dwelt among us. Dwelt among us. Lived here as a man in lowly grace. Was found in the house of Levi. I've sometimes thought that was a wonderful thing, you know. People say that, oh, so-and-so is a dreadful people, you mustn't go and eat with them. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's blessed Son, the object of his heart, the expression of God in this world, was found in the house of Levi. Can I understand it? I only know it he came to me. But this is the one, beloved. This is the one who's coming out of heaven. He is coming out of heaven in all his glory. The hosts of heaven following him. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun rises. You know, it was a lovely morning in Manchester this morning. You may not believe that could be so, but it can. And I couldn't help thinking, something of this verse went through my mind this morning, and I thought, well, it's a lovely morning, there had been a shower of rain, and the sun was shining, and the skies were blue, and that verse came to be, he shall be as the light of the morn, when the sun rises. Even as clear shining after rain, he says, why, Jesus. God, blessed one, the light of that wonderful day of glory. The night is past spent, beloved, the day is at hand. The night of his absence is nearly over. He's coming, and he's coming in glory, and every eye shall see him. And you know, I want to tell you this, the sun of that wonderful day of glory will never, never set. Isn't that a blessed thing? How wonderful it is. Our suns all set, don't they? But when he comes to usher in that day of unspeakable glory, that sun will never, never set. Beloved, does it thrill your heart? It ought to. This is what God has given it to us for, to thrill our hearts in the anticipation of that moment. He's coming.
I must turn my Bible over to Revelation 19, mustn't I? Called faithful and true. Called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. You know,
The scripture said, John said, I saw heaven opened. Whenever you see heaven opened, it's always Jesus who's the other side, isn't it? The opening of the heavens is always upon God's blessed one. So we might have a view of him. It's not the things, great as they may be, the greatness of the glory. Yes, it's going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Wonderful. And all kinds of marvelous things are going to happen. The curse is going to be removed. The lion and the lamb shall lie down together. We could think of many, many descriptions in the prophets of the wonder of that day, couldn't we? But it isn't anything of that. It's the person of God's blessed one coming out of heaven that's going to fill every eye. No one's going to have an eye for anything else. His name is called the Word of God. The same wonderful, glorious, blessed person. The one who from eternity is the expression of God. The one who made known that expression in a world which hated him without a cause. Hate therefore seen and hated both me and my Father, he could say. That same blessed one who's coming out of heaven, crowned with many diadems. Oh, what diadems crown his brow? Every diadem crowns his brow. Nobody else is entitled to any. The diadem we've just been singing, Israel's race shall now behold him, crowned with dreadful majesty. Those who set at naught and sold him, pierced and nailed him to the tree. Yes, he's wearing the crown of the house of David. All that was ever known of God's will under the royal household of David and Solomon found its full expression at last. Nobody else, none other. Why, David was a wonderful man, we know, but oh, what a dreadful thing. What dreadful things he did. Solomon was a wonderful picture of the Prince of Peace, wasn't he? But we don't have to think far to think of the awful tragedy of the remainder of his reign. But here's one who's never going to fail. Never has failed, never will fail. And my dear friends, that do you know what it says of that one? Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David. It does. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. As age to age rolls on, so the increase of his government rolls on, greater and greater as the years go by. Oh, from age to age, we sometimes think that, from age to age, more glorious, all blessed and all blessed. You ever thought of that? Why, he can't be more glorious. But the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, no end. How great he is. The crown of the house of David. God's glorious son. How can we speak of the diadem of God's glorious son? And yet, his crowns, his diadems cover the glory of that blessed thing. He's the one who fulfilled every desire that the Father ever had. Do you know, I've sometimes thought, I'm sure you have, that God gave him, if you like, two works to do. Perhaps they're both one, really. But the first was redemption's work, wasn't it? To come down here and buy it all. And he bought the field.
You remember there was a treasure hid in the field, and he bought the field. He paid for it with his own precious life, didn't he? But the other part of the work is to take possession of it. Take possession of it for who? For God. He's going to rule for God. God's blessed son. What diadems crown his brow? The Son of Man. The Son of Man. Oh, we might have expected God to have given the rule of the world to angels, might we? Ah, but unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. Why, one in a certain place testified, what is man, that thou art mindful of him? Here he is, he's a man, a real man. Sometimes, you know, we think of the Lord Jesus in all the greatness of his glory, don't we? And perhaps there passes from our mind the fact of the reality of his manhood. But the man who sits upon the Father's throne tonight is a man who has been tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. One who knows, who knew what it was to be weary with his journey. One who knew what it was to be poor. Are you poor? Yes, some of us have tasted this at some time. He said, show me a penny. Have you ever thought of it? The universe is his own beloved. And when he needed a coin to pay the taxes, he commanded a fish to bring it to him. The glory of the Creator. But he hadn't anything. He had nothing here. And even the clothes that he had, they took from him and gambled for them. God's glorious Son. He's the heir of all things. They said, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. But oh, my dear friend, he's God's appointed heir. Wonderful thing, isn't it? God hasn't appointed angels. He's appointed his own son, the heir of all. And everything belongs to him. And he's going to have it all too. Because in the will of God, everything that the purpose of God has planned is going to be entirely fulfilled. What a crown this is. What a diadem on the brow of that blessed one, the heir of all things. Look at him. But he made them all. Yes, he's got the creation, the Creator's crown too. For his pleasure, they are and were created. He's the firstborn of all creation. How did that come about? He wasn't as soon as Adam, was he? Wasn't Adam the firstborn? No. Jesus is the firstborn, far above them all, the whole creation. He is the firstborn by rank and style and dignity. No one else can take that place from him. If he were to stoop into manhood, he must be the firstborn of all creation. Mustn't he? Beloved, what wonderful diadems these are. He's the Redeemer. The Redeemer. The one who paid that awful price. The one from whose blessed lips there came those awful words. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I am sure that never throughout an eternal age to come, when we are at home with him, in the Father's home, will we forget those words of his. Words which ring down the ages, because it's the answer to everything, the reason for everything.
all the blessing which has ever come to any man, from Adam right to the very last man ever to come into blessing, has come about through those terrible words, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Let them ring into your heart, my beloved friend, tonight, once again, that something at the cost of redemption might be before our souls. He wears redemption's crown. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Think of it. The song started with the redeemed, didn't it? And then it gradually widened until it included the angels. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And then that song, it reverberated throughout the whole universe of God. Blessing and honor and glory and power. Every tongue is going to sing it. Every knee is going to bow. Doesn't it do your heart good to think of it, my friend? It does mine. Jesus, highly exalted, uniquely exalted, that word says, you know. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him. The word there is uniquely exalted him. It's not used anywhere else in the whole of the scripture. He has a unique and an only place. And he will have forevermore. Blessed be his wonderful, glorious name forever and ever. He wears the conqueror's crown. The conqueror's diadem, doesn't he? Why, every enemy has had a part in the effort to stop the love of God coming to you and me. Satan with all his power, the world with all its seduction, our own evil natures, every one of us. But he's the conqueror. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Beloved, what a crowd. But I've only mentioned a few of them, haven't I? No one can ever tell how great those crowns are, but he's going to wear them all, and they all belong by right to him, who alone is worthy. Oh, that our hearts might be taken to the scene of glory, because we're going to have a place with him. The loving out of heaven is going to come, that which is his companion and his bride, that which is suited to himself, which God has given to him, and which he has paid for at the cost of his own most precious blood. And if you are a Christian, my dear friend, tonight, you have a place there. Wonder of grace, marvel of love beyond all human thought, but our place is going to be with him in the day of his glory. Pictured in Adam when he was at the head of the first creation and there was given to him that which was suited to himself. Jesus is going to have that which is suited to himself. And I can't understand it, and I'm sure you can't either, but it's going to be all those poor, wretched, miserable ones that they once were, brought into all the brightness of that glory and exactly suited to it, to be with him and exactly suited to be his companion throughout heaven's ages yet to dawn. Beloved friend, these are realities. They're not fictional. This is the word of God. Won't we lift up our hearts as we think of it? Nothing of this is going to fail. Not a single word of it is going to fail. It's planned from eternal ages past. It's being brought about as a result of the work of God's blessed Son himself. King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If this is right, if this is right, and oh, how right it is. Beloved friends, what does it mean to us tonight? How great a practical effect does it have on the lives of every one of us? There's a sense in which all of us who've studied the Word of God at all know these facts, know everything of them. What practical effect is it having tonight on our lives? Oh, that we might be more committed to Him. That there might be drawn out from our hearts by the Spirit that loyalty to His name, which is due to the Bridegroom, whom we have, whom we are going to have, and with whom we are going to live throughout heaven's ages. Beloved, if this is what it is, if it's just round the corner, what kind of lives are we going to live from now onwards? Oh, that the Spirit of God might touch your heart, my dear young friend tonight, whoever you may be, or older friend. If there's one here who's been backsliding, Jesus is the answer to your need. If there's one here who's never trusted this Savior, Jesus is the answer to your need tonight. Whatever your position, my dear friend, if you're at home in the Father's presence now, if you know what it is to have no barriers at all in your life, Jesus is still the answer. He loves you. He loves us all. His precious, boundless love is set on us forever. We've been given to Him by the Father to be taken home to glory, to fill the Father's home with Him. I'm not going to say any more. What can one say any more? King of and Lord of lords, beloved. Let us bow our hearts.